Well, if you see on the bulletin, the title this morning, it says, Who's Jesus Christ? Might seem a little bit strange to us, in a sense, because we think about, well, who's Jesus Christ? Well, we know who Jesus is. But I want to talk about some things this morning. The Holy Spirit's been speaking to me about. In fact, Randall Greer had talked along this line some. Because one thing I found out, especially the age and time we live in, the majority of people who call themselves Christian don't know who Jesus Christ is. Because I can listen to what they say, I can listen to what they talk about, and I know that they aren't talking about the same Jesus that I know from the Bible. And we need to understand this, because we use the term, and did you ever think about this? The Lord had brought this to my remembrance. We use the term Christian, but you know, the term Christian did not come from Christian or Christianity. It came from the world. The first time that the word Christian is used in the Bible, it was what people began to call the Christians. That's what they called believers who followed Jesus Christ. They started calling them Christians. They did. And today, a lot of Christianity is really got its ideas from the world. And its ideas of what Jesus is, what he does, it's come from the world. The world has decided what Jesus is, what he's like, and it is absolutely amazing. I was sitting down this past week, and I was, you know, online. You know, there's one thing about you can go on to search engines today, and it's amazing the stuff you can find. And I mean, and I started looking through, and I was totally astounded to look and find quotes and stuff from major so-called major Christian leaders. And I believe they're Christians. But some of the remarks that they make, it's like, it is astounding their ignorance. Some of these people are called leaders. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I ain't following them. If they believe some of the stupid things they say about the Bible and about God, it's like, my God, did they ever read the book? See, it's important we get to know the book and we look in the book. You know, it's like anything, the manual. You know, it's usually the last thing that people look at. You know, I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you this will happen. Jesus Christ will come and the church will leave, and hundreds of millions of people will get out the book and say, I don't get it. What happened? If they had read the book, they could have got out when he came. But they didn't read the book. They took the ideas of men and what men have said and what men believe. You know, and it's why I was looking at who Jesus Christ is. You know, we have groups and that stuff that use the term Jesus, and there's you know, groups that meet together. They have all the different kind of right things that the Bible says they have them, but really, they actually don't believe Jesus is who he is. They don't believe he's what the Bible says he is. I've often wondered, with especially from a minister standpoint, I never quite understood why somebody didn't believe the Bible was true and yet would be a minister in a church, and there are people. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many ministers don't believe that the Bible is true. I was listening to a minister talk who was over in Italy, and he was on a tour over there for some, it was something to do with a ministry thing. And so, but anyhow, he was in the Vatican and he was talking to one of the priests in the Vatican, and one of these priests in the Vatican told him that, he said, in the city of Rome itself, now the city of Rome has so many churches, it's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, they got so many Catholic churches there. Now, this one thing is the Catholic Church has, you know, was really big on the deity of Jesus, who he is. But this priest in the Vatican told him, he said, that many of the priests, he said, in Rome alone, no longer believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that they don't believe in the virgin birth. Well, I'm not knocking the Catholics. I know Catholics that are born again people, I know spirit-filled Catholics, I know good, godly people surely believe who Jesus is, born again. But I found the same thing going over in the area of the Protestant groups. It's amazing. You'd be amazed. One of the things, what happens to us as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we don't ever really listen to what people say. Jesus said this. Jesus, I'm going to take him as the last statement. I don't care what any other man says about it, and they can preach whatever they want. He said, you'll know them by their fruits. I don't care what a man says he is. You let me around him for a while, and I'll find out what he is. I'll find out what he is. And I found out a lot of people who say what they are from a religious standpoint are not. They are not, because we live in a society where really the word Christian is so perverted. It can, you know, everybody and his brother, you know, we're Christian. And I know surely they're not. You know, I have not gone to a funeral in the last 20 years that everybody's going to heaven when they die. I don't care how evil they are. I don't care what they have done. I don't care how, what a wretched life, and never went in the door of a church and never cared about God at all. But the preacher will preach about them being in heaven. And I think about those preachers, I am sure, are going to be in hell for lying to people. I don't care if they say they do believe in Jesus. You can't lie to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ and end up in heaven. Bible says where liars are going to end up. Boy, you know, I tell you what, we might mess up in a lot of areas, but we don't want to mess up on the area of leading people astray on who Jesus Christ is. We don't want that. Boy, that's an area. It's a dangerous place to go. You don't want to do it. And this is one thing, is finding out where people are at, who Jesus is. I remember years ago, my wife, they had a guy they used to call Grandpa Bolts. He really was not their grandfather, but he was a real close friend of the family, and everybody just called him Grandpa Bolts. Well, I had never met him, and Wanda had found out that later on that he was in a nursing home. And she said about this, being a nursing home, she said, I want to go see him. She said, I haven't seen him for years. And so I said, I'll go with you. We'll go to the nursing home. Well, before we left, I had, you know, just my regular prayer time and stuff of things. And I was praying, and I had asked her if Grandpa Bolts was a Christian. And she said she had no idea or knew, you know, she grew up, her family really wasn't Christians growing up, and she didn't know whether Grandpa Bolts had been or not. So I just sort of prayed and asked God about it. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, when you go up, as you go to see him, he said, you're going to lead him to Christ. Well, I thought, well, this would be good, you know. Hey, this is good. But it's amazing. I got there and I got talking to this man, and we were there for a pretty long period of time talking with him and that stuff. And I started asking him things about God, about the Bible. This man could give an answer for everything. He could absolutely give you an answer for anything out of the Bible. He just knew all about. He could sit in the scriptures of salvation and all this kind of stuff. I'm sitting here totally perplexed. I'm thinking, now, I know I heard from God. I know what is going on here with this. I know I heard from God. And we were getting ready to go, and I just all of a sudden made him a statement. Something about heaven, I said. And he turned around, and all these things that he said, because I'd ask him questions, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and oh, yeah, and all this. He's going through the whole thing. And I said, leaving something about heaven, and he said, yeah, I hope I get there. See, he mentally knew all the things, but that's not what was in his heart. His heart had no idea where it was going to end up. You see, we sit around and think because people say things. We listen to people intellectually. You need to keep your heart open to find out where people are. Because much of the so-called Christian world today is not Christian. They have the intellectual. They know the intellectual side of things. They know all this kind of stuff. But it's not what they believe in their heart. They don't have no confidence of where they're going when they die at all. And our job is to reach people. And that's why we gotta be people of the spirit and not people of intellect. We just run out. You know, over the years, I've had this happen from the time I was a young Christian. People would come along and they'd say, oh, well, so-and-so's a Christian. And I'd think, dear Lord, a Christian? I never see nothing about their lives as a Christian. After I'd get talked to them, I'd find out they're not a Christian. But the person who told me he's a Christian was an actual believer. But they have no idea. They're so dumb around everybody. If anybody says there's something, they believe it. You know? I mean, most people, if everybody were a place where a person worked, said they were a Christian, they'd think they had nobody to witness to. And yet none of them might be Christians. But all of them say they are. But you have to have some kind of spiritual understanding. You got to know what's going on. It's one of the things that I found out is when I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company as a young Christian, a guy talked to me about these two ladies, and he said that these two ladies were Christians, so that we worked with. So I thought, they're Christians, I'm going to find out. Well, I'll get into a conversation with them. Well, I found out that the reason that he said that they were Christians because they believed in God. Well, the devil believes in God and he's not going to be in heaven. You don't go to heaven because you believe in God. I'll tell you what, I have heard in my Christian walk, I have heard thousands of Christians use that to me of why they believe a person's a Christian. I've had thousands of people say, well, they're a Christian because they believe in God. I look at them and say, so what? I believed in God when I was on my way to hell for sure. I believed in God. So I got talking to these ladies, and I found out how wonderful Christians they are. Well, as long as I talked about God, it was fine, and I started talking about Jesus, and they got real touchy. They didn't really want to discuss Jesus Christ. They didn't really like that. Well, you know, that's the way you believe. I say, yeah, that's the way God believes, and I'm going that way. And I say, I don't know where you're going, but it ain't where I'm going. Well, see, this guy's talking around. Well, they're Christians because they believe in God. It's important that we know, because we're in a world, and many Christians are all messed up in things. Even people I believe that are born again, but they're totally ignorant. They listen to too much of what the world says. And sometimes preachers talk too much about what the world, you know, says and got it in. And after a while, people are believing what the world says. Doesn't matter what the world says. We need to get our information from the Word of God. Randall Greer has been since when God started to talk to him in 2008, began to speak to him about the two types of churches here in the last day. There's two types of churches. God dealt with me, and I got over to look at this because he reminded me of something that was preached in our church over 15 years ago. There was Ray Nelson. Was him and his wife were ministering. At that time, Ray and his wife, they were late 60s, early 70s that they were at that time. But they had, Ray and Sylvia, his wife, they had been in the ministry for a number of years, and then they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they had been ministers in a denominational church, and then they got filled with the Holy Spirit, went to Rhema Bible Training Center, came out, then they were out traveling in the ministry for a long time, and then it wasn't too long after they had ministered with us that God told them to start a church, and they had started a church, and the last I heard, they were pastor, and I don't know, they might be retired now. I haven't heard about them for a long time. But anyhow, Ray had some really good areas of teaching, and one of his really areas was dealing with the areas with the body of Christ. Now, Randall Greer, the Lord spoke to him in 2008 and told him there's two types of churches, and specifically he talked about America here where we can really see it going on. He said there's two types of churches. He said there's the revelational church, which I've talked about those things already, and the informational church. And he said, he talked about these two types of churches, the church that is the revelational church and the informational church. And see, this is a large part of the Church of America falls into the category an informational church. It's all intellect. It's all based on intellectualism. It's all based on the fact that, well, we know this and we know that, but men don't have revelation from God. You need to understand this. You cannot live out the Christian life without revelation. It's not information. It's not who the brightest guy is and can sit down and read. Now, I want to tell you, I know this is true because I have sat and listened to men who are considered Bible scholars. They have, more initials by their name than my name holds in letters, you know. They got all these PhDs and all this stuff. Many times I've sat and I've listened, like on TV, and a guy's talking and he says, the Bible says such and such. And it don't say that at all. You can't find that in the Bible. But they insist it said. I've had men quote a book of the Bible and say what the verse is, and they say this verse says this. And I have looked it up, and that verse don't say that at all. It's because the Bible isn't like a textbook where you go get it out like a science book and study. The Bible is revealed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is not for sinners, it's for saints. Without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do one thing, and I've talked about this before. For a sinner, The sinner is going to waste his time studying the Bible. So don't get the sinner to try to study the Bible. One thing that God wants to do for the sinner and the Holy Spirit does, He convicts the world of sin. That He will do. He does not teach the sinner. The Holy Spirit is never referred to only by preachers who ain't got good sense. That, you know, He's just showing everybody, He wants to reveal to everybody. There's one thing. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. He is not the teacher of the world. He's the teacher of the church. He's the teacher of the believer. The believer of all ages, even in the Old Testament, the Jew under the covenant, the Holy Spirit was a teacher to them. He wasn't a teacher to the people who weren't under the covenant. He was a teacher to them. It's how the Holy Spirit works. And we need to understand this because it requires the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what brings life to the Word of God. He makes Jesus known to who what He really is and who He is. It isn't found out intellectually. Now, I haven't got anything against education at all. It doesn't hurt to be educated. But education without the Holy Ghost, you might end up the biggest dummy on the block. That's what's happened in America. That's why we're in the trouble we're in. Because we've removed God from education, and now all these bright idiots have us where we are today. Trying to fix problems, you know, they've become so bright, they keep trying to take the same things that didn't work and keep doing it again. You know, let's dump more money in this thing. What do you think? You know, hey, let's spend another trillion on education. It's going to work this time. Now, it hasn't worked all these others, but if we just spend more money, it'll work. You know, they keep doing, what happens? It isn't a matter, nothing wrong. If you're godly and spent that much money on education, you'd probably end up with rocket scientists. But you ain't going to end up with them with removing God. Wisdom comes from God, and it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. And men who don't want God, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to them only to try to get them to come to God. And if they will not come to God, He will not show them a thing. They must come to God through Jesus Christ. That's who they must come to. Well, anyhow, Randall Greer told us about these two types of church. You have this informational church, you have the revelational church, this intellectual church. Well, the Lord reminded me and said to me, you know, Ray Nelson talked about that when he was with us. See, Ray Nelson, his ministry, he dealt a lot on the church itself and who the church was and things like that. And he went over one time and teaching the book of Revelation. He went over and was teaching the churches from the book of Revelation. And he taught about, you know, the things about them that we can see about the church, God's plan for the church and things. But he got talking about those and he did some teaching and he said these churches, you know, were actual churches and things. They weren't churches to come someday or something other than that. But they did symbolize the church of different ages. And one of the things that he taught and teaching through, he showed how of different periods of the church age, how these churches represented. And he said, he ended up with the last two churches, which is Philadelphia and Laodicea. And he said, these two churches are the picture of the two churches that will exist before Jesus returns. The Philadelphia church and the Laodicean church. The Philadelphia church, which Philadelphia means brotherly love, the Philadelphia church was the only church that Jesus had no remark against them for anything. They were the church without spot or wrinkle. They were the church without spot or wrinkle. The church of Laodicea had a real problem. They were the intellectual church. They had everything. He said, you guys look like you're rich, you got all this stuff. He said, you guys are naked and poor, you ain't got nothing. That church, Jesus Christ did not fellowship with them. The Bible says He was standing at the door knocking. God was trying to get into that church. Yet that church had all the intellectuals. They knew all the scriptures. They had all the stuff, and God wasn't in it. It's interesting because Ray, I had never known this before. To Ray, I had talked about it, never studied it, never heard anyone ever say it. But at that time, the Lord reminded me to go over to His teaching, and I went over. And the word Laodicea, that name comes from two different words. Laos, which means common man, and Dika, which means judgments or opinions. In other words, that church is the opinions of men. That's exactly what Randall Greer talked about and said the informational church is. It's men's opinions. It's man's opinion of who God is, who Jesus is. Not what God said he is, but what man says that he is. And I thought about that. I thought, my words, it's over 15 years ago. God had already shown that revelation, and he's bringing it out today. I guess God was trying to get the attention of the church, but people don't pay attention, it seems, you know. But here we have these two churches, and Ray said those would be the two churches that are going to exist. They'll be the main churches that exist. There's going to be two types of churches. There's going to be the church without spot or wrinkle, the ones that are following Jesus Christ. And there's going to be the ones who are going to be the informational church. It's going to be what men think Christianity is. And so we have that. That's the church. They have all the things, talk all the stuff about God, act like he's around. Act like they know something about him, but really they know nothing. They can't live the life. Without revelation, you can't live the Christian life. It's unlivable. Revelation gives you the ability to live it. And so if you want to live the Christian life, you need to have revelation. Now I want you to turn to Matthew 16. We're going there. I want you to look at Matthew 16 because of we find some things that are really fit in Jesus' day. Fits to you and I today. It fits to us. In Matthew the 16th chapter, verse 13, Jesus, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In other words, just think of this. In Jesus' day, when Jesus walked on the earth, it's the same thing as we have today. The questions ask, who do men, or what a man? Now, he's talking men. Now, what do men say who I am? Well, all men were wrong on it. All the men out there saying, or all these people that are saying, they're trying intellectually, this is who Jesus is. So they're saying, this is who men, in other words, people are trying to reason and determine Jesus, who he is, by their intellect. Now, understand, this is God's covenant people. When we read, if you read in the New Testament, you read the Gospels, you find out that the people there were looking for the coming Messiah. But you know what? They're so tied up in their religion, they're not listening to the Spirit. And the Spirit can't show them. Now, not everybody, because we're going to find out there's people who know exactly who he is. There's people who know, but there's people who don't. Yet they all go down to the temple, and all of them act like they're Jews following God. Yet they're not. In fact, there's only a remnant of them following God. The majority aren't. The majority are not. It has always been like that in every age. It's been like that in every age. You know, if you believe what the Bible says of who Jesus is, I want to tell you something. If you truly believe it in your heart, you are a minority in the Christian world. You're a minority. You're a minority. Hallelujah. Well, it's a good minority. Don't cry over it. Hallelujah. It's a good minority. If you got the revelation, hallelujah. Thank God. I thank God the day came I got the revelation of who Jesus was. Oh my God. I am so glad. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful revelation. And I know it wasn't by intellectualism, because I didn't have much going on in the cranial area at that time at all. I was mostly whacked out pretty good on alcohol and anything else we could get our hands on. But praise God, he gave me a revelation, and that revelation revolutionized my life, changed my life. But he was asked. So in Jesus' day, people are guessing. People are guessing. They're saying what sounds good to them. This figures out pretty good to me. Instead of reading the Bible, you know, it's very, very interesting, because, you know, I always listen to people say, you know, and I remember I grew up in a church and they were saying about the end, when Jesus, you know, talks about before Jesus comes back in a tribulation, Elijah's going to come back, you know, because the Bible talks about Elijah, the return of Elijah. And that's talking about the spirit of Elijah. Elijah ain't coming back. The spirit of Elijah has been operating. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the Elijah to come. It's amazing how people don't read the Bible. What they do is what these people did here. Here there's an individual in the earth. God sends a guy, and they start saying, oh, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. You know, I believe it this way. He's probably that guy. They never stop and ask God, God, who is this guy? What is it? What are you doing? It's amazing how people don't ask God. People start speculating with their mind of who or what this individual is. And so they're speculating on who he might be. See, John the Baptist was dead at this time, and they say, well, John the Baptist, he came back to life again. You know, John the Baptist back to life. Well, I'm sorry, Jesus didn't look like John the Baptist, nor the disciples. A number of the disciples followed after John the Baptist, yet they knew he wasn't John the Baptist. So some of them must have been, you know, just drinking too much or just downright stupid. Something, I like to think maybe they were drinking, at least there's an excuse for being so dumb. So people don't know. But you know, many people, they never ask God. They never seek God to find out answers. They just start their little speculation. That's how religions grow. You realize how many religions have come out of Christianity? How many groups have come out of Christianity? Because people start getting ideas. They start thinking on their own. I found out it's not good for Ed to think on his own. It's best he gets the Holy Ghost involved when he begins to think. Because I can go places I probably should not go, and, you know, in my thought. It is good to stay in line with the Holy Spirit and let him teach me things. Because, you know, we want to stay doctrinally sound. We don't want to lead other people off into wrong thinking. And so, but here they were. They had the same dilemma as we have today. So in verse 15 it says, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, in other words, Peter makes a statement. He knows exactly who Jesus is. I'll never forget. I've told the story before, and I worked at Lebanon County Prison. I worked there, and I remember one time we had a guy who was suicidal. We had him on suicide watch, and we're really having trouble with him all the time. So one day the warden gave me a call and said, I wasn't working at the time, but he said, could you come in and sit with this guy? He said, he's suicidal. He said, I don't know, maybe you could talk to him and get him, you know. They had different people try to talk with him. They had the counselors, and they had psychiatrists come in from Phil Haven and stuff and try to talk to this guy, and he just kept trying to commit suicide. He said, could you come in and talk to him? I said, yeah. So I went in. When I went in, he was asleep and stuff, and I just set a chair outside of his cell there, and I just sat down in the chair. And when he woke up, we were talking about some things. And so I just got talking to him about, you know, him committing suicide, and he just said he's tired of life and he wants to go. And I just, you know, sharing things with him, and I just said about leaving this earth. I said, I said, you understand that when you die, what if you're believing wrong when you leave, you can't change it. I said, do you understand that? Because he felt that if he committed suicide, he would just get away from the pain of the world and the things that were going on, and it would just be all over for him. I said, but what if that ain't true? What if you leave and find out that's not so? That was amazing. He had never really thought of that. And nobody had ever really talked to him about it. It's because people who talked to him about it, I will bet you many of them would say they were a Christian. But they had no more sense than he did about it. See, people just assume stuff. They assume things. And so I shared, you know, a little bit from the scriptures, and I said to him, he said, do you know where you're going? I said, absolutely. I know where I'm going. I started telling him. I mean, to him, it was like a light turned on. It was just remarkable. And I'll never forget the prison counselor come walking in the cell block area where he was and come walking in. And this guy was in his cell door, and he looked down. And he said, hey, this guy knows where he's going when he dies. Now, there's the prison counselor. He's there. Yeah. Well, I knew where he was going when he dies. And he shouldn't be counseling men. I ran into Christian counselors, and I wondered if they knew where they were going when they were dying. They're so-called Christian. And I thought, oh, man. They were so full of the world's intellectualism. They weren't good to anybody spiritually. But this dawned upon this, and you know what? That revelation, I don't know if he ever accepted Christ. I got him in, I witnessed to him, he didn't accept Christ, but you know what? He never tried to commit suicide again. Never tried to commit suicide after that. God lit him up on something there. Hallelujah. Thank God. But you know what? It came by revelation. It didn't come by intellectualism. I didn't say, people probably pleaded with him not to die. It's not good. They probably pleaded. But God gave a revelation. It turned, I was just telling him, God, what's him, people, Christian dies, goes to heaven. I'm not trying to specifically, and that God gave him a revelation on that fact. Wow, you know where you're going. It's amazing. He's living in a world, they have church services and all this stuff are going on in the church. These guys would go to these things and go this and that and the other thing. It didn't change a thing because there wasn't any reality of God. Revelation brings reality. Revelation brings reality. The Holy Spirit makes Christianity or following Christ real. He makes it real. Jesus says, "Do you know who I am?" Peter said, "I know." Peter had a divine revelation. Peter, and I want to say this, Peter ain't the first guy that got the divine revelation. In fact, there's people who had the divine revelation of who Jesus was before Peter did. There was a guy, Simeon, who was in the temple. Jesus is 8 days old, and they bring Jesus into the temple as prescribed by the law, and there's a guy, Simeon, there who knew who the Messiah was. Why? The Holy Spirit is revealing. The Bible says this, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be opened unto you. See, people are sitting down with the Bible intellectually trying to figure things out. Go to the Word, surely you want to know the Word of God, but let the Holy Spirit show you what it's saying. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Let Him be your guide. Get to know Him. Simeon knew who it was. At that same time, there was a woman, she's a prophetess, her name is Anna, and she knew who the Messiah was. She knew who that baby was. Now, Peter didn't find out till later. People could know. Just think about this. I mean, when the wise men came to ask, when the wise men came and they went down to Herod and them, Where's the king of the Jews? Where's he at? Where's he been born? Herod, who was a pagan, Herod turns around and asks the Jews, hey, you guys, where's this guy supposed to be born? They knew exactly where he's supposed to be born. Now just think about this. The Jews knew exactly, he's supposed to be born down in Bethlehem. They know the town he's supposed to be born in. Yet, and here he is. We know this. When the wise men showed up, Jesus was at least probably over a year old, probably close to 2 years old, because it says when they got there, he was in the house. He wasn't in a stable. It says he was in the house. So in other words, the Messiah has already been around him maybe 2 years. There are people who know because Simeon knew in the temple at 8 days when he was born. Anna knew, and I'll guarantee you there was others, who knew? Understand, he was introduced to the night of his birth by the angels to shepherds, and the shepherds knew the Messiah was born. They knew the Savior of Israel was born. There's people who had revelation. Heaven gave a revelation, and the religious people and the leaders know nothing. They know nothing. There's a lot of that today. There's a lot of so-called religious leaders in Christianity who know nothing. They don't know what the time they're living in. They just think things are the same. We're just going along. Oh, they talk about Jesus coming back. They no more believe He's coming back, the man of the moon, because they keep living like He's never coming back. They keep living like He's not coming back. The Holy Spirit is always willing to give people revelation if they'll look to God. If they'll ask God, God will reveal what He's doing. You can know. You don't have to wait till the new book comes out by somebody to find something out. You don't want to find out that way. Go to God. You want to know something, you ask Him. Hallelujah. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was specifically given to us to take the things of Christ. Jesus went and replied in verse 17 to Peter. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." He said, flesh and blood. Flesh and blood didn't tell you this. In other words, human intellect didn't bring this to you. Men's wisdom never brought any of this to you. He said, God showed this to you. God did. Peter wasn't somebody special. Simeon was over there. Simeon, he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't nothing. He didn't follow after Jesus from that standpoint or didn't do none of that. Yet they had the revelation of who he was. And he told them, you're blessed. You got the revelation. I want you, if you know who Jesus is, you're blessed. If you know who Jesus is, you're blessed. Because there's much of Christianity doesn't know who he is. You're blessed. He said, you're blessed. Now, if Jesus said you're blessed, you're blessed. You know, don't try to talk it out of him. Don't try to, you know, well, I don't know. I don't feel so blessed. Well, get over the feeling. Jesus said you're blessed. Hallelujah. Get happy. Glory to God. Jesus said you're blessed. He said you're blessed. Why? God revealed this to you. God showed you who Jesus is. Hallelujah. How does he do that? He does it by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter, it says, starting in the 9th verse, but as is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The Holy Ghost, he takes what belongs to Jesus. He takes the Word of God and makes it alive and real that you and I can know. It's not something we talk about. It's something we know about. See, many people can talk Christianity. Many people can talk about Jesus. I can truthfully say this. I know him. I have experienced him. Hallelujah. I have experienced Christ. And so, why? The Holy Ghost makes it a thing that is real. All through the history of humanity, men have received revelation from God by the Holy Spirit when they sought after him. From the beginning of the book all through, anybody who went after God, God has revealed himself to that person. Kenneth Hagin used to say all the time, God, he said, will always move where there's a hungry heart. If you're hungry for God, God will show up. If God does not show up, there's one problem. There's not a hungry heart. There's many people want what God has, but they do not want God. They want his stuff. Oh, help me out of this trouble. But they don't want God. They're not in search for God. They don't want a revelation from heaven. I don't want time, waste my time. It may take me some time maybe to seek God to get a revelation. I just want to quick fix my problem so I can go do what I've been doing. We have a lot of that today. A lot of that is, that's a lot of people's prayers. Fix my problem, God. And the only time they pray is when they got a problem. I found out when I started seeking revelation, it kept me out of a lot of problems. I don't know about you. I need revelation. I can get in trouble. I don't know about you. I need revelation. I need to know things. Last week we were talking about praying ahead, knowing things ahead, praying ahead rather than waiting till stuff happens, knowing what's going to happen down the road. The Holy Spirit shows you things to come. That's what Jesus had said. So you can know what's ahead and be prepared rather than let the devil eat your lunch for a week, then pray and ask God. We want to know down the road. God has a plan and the Holy Spirit was given to us. And he'll reveal himself through the Word so you and I can know what God's doing. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, it shall be opened to us. Jesus made that statement. He was under the law at the time. He hadn't died, was raised from the dead. He told them, seek and you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened unto you. You want to know who I am? Well, you knock on the right door. Ask the right person. If you want to know who Jesus is, ask his daddy. He'll tell you. The Holy Ghost will reveal him to you if you want to know. Or you can run around and ask everybody else's opinion of who Jesus Christ is. Revelation, and you want the revelation. Why? The blessing comes because of the revelation. That revelation brings the life of God to everybody who receives it. Sometimes people get a revelation from God, but they don't receive it. It's not what they want. Well, it won't bring life to you. But if you receive the revelation of God, it'll bring life to your life. Hallelujah. So you want to do that. So there's the revelation that Jesus, he said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You need to know this. I've seen Christian ministers talk and say about, and I know different groups, and they'll say that, oh, they're Christian too. They believe in Jesus. Yes, they believe in, quote, Jesus. They believe in his existence, but they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They believe he is a Son of God, one of a Son of God. And people call those groups Christians, but yet they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Therefore, Jesus is not God to them. If Jesus is not part of the Godhead, you ain't going to be going to heaven to visit Him. That's the basis of salvation. Understand this. That's the basis of salvation. I have seen, and people say, well, these people are Christian. They believe in Jesus. Believe what in Jesus? There's groups, they believe Jesus existed. I was just reading, you know, from one denominational group, you know, and they just started talking about, well, you know, they believe Jesus existed. They believe He was born. They question many things about Him. Well, they don't believe He's the Son of God. They don't believe that. And you know what? Most people will call them and say, well, they're Christians. No, they ain't. They're religious. They're no different. They're no better off. In fact, they may be worse off than the Muslim because they think that they're right about Jesus. You might have a better chance of getting hold of somebody who's ignorant of the fact of who Jesus is. The Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet, but they don't believe He's the Son of God. They equate Him as to being a prophet of God, like, you know, their prophets, you know, just the same old thing. They don't believe that He was the Son of God, so it just has no value. They believe that Jesus was and exists. That does nothing. There's no value in that. That does not save. They need to come to the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And unless they come to that place of that revelation, they're in trouble. They need to come to that place of that revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus went on to say, but John, let me just read you some things here. John said, in John, in six, John, the sixth chapter, the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter, in verse 67 says this, and I want to read this to you because something that Peter said in the revelation that Peter had. Because this is important about revelation. I want to talk about this. In verse 67, it says, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? What he's talking about, he just got talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And the crowd got upset and left. They didn't want to hear what he was talking about. So he turned to the disciples and Jesus asked them, do you guys want to leave? Simon Peter said this, but Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now listen to this. Also, listen what he says. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, also we have come to believe and know. You know, you started believing and you go to knowing. See, many people believe things the Bible says, but they never come to the place of knowing. You know, it's sort of like this. It's like believing God for something. The Bible tells us, in Matthew it says, when what we believe we receive when we pray, you know, we'll have it. In other words, we believe we receive it. See, faith is when you're believing you receive it, but one day you come to have it. When you come to the day of having it, you don't need to believe you receive it anymore. You got to come to the day you know it. You know it when it shows up. In other words, they had come to the place, they had believed that Jesus was, and Peter says, I got to the place, sir, where I know that you're the Son of God. I'll tell you what, I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. I know it. I know it. You've got to come to the place where you know. See, this is why Peter was not moved by a message he did not understand. It did not change. Jesus preached something over his head and he didn't get offended or messed up like the rest of the crowd. Well, I just don't like that. He did this. Nah, 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 nah. Because of their own intellectual ignorance and they're intellectually trying to understand the word. Peter said, look, I know this. You're the Son of God. I'm sticking with you. That's it. No matter what's said or I get it or not, I know I'm on the right path. We ain't going any place else. I'm not worried about what's said. Well, you know, we'll figure this one out later. We'll get it. We'll get it. Well, Peter and them got it. Amen. But he didn't get offended. He knew who he was. This is why many people get so offended all the time, is their weakness in Christianity. And somebody preaches something and they don't understand and they get all mad and they're blown out and they're out of the church and they can't, they're all offended and everything else. It's because they're whining little baby Christians. Don't understand nothing. Really don't know who Jesus is. Peter came to the point, Jesus said anything. He said, I don't care. Where else am I going to go? You're the Son of God. Where am I going to go? You know, what are you going to do?
I'm going to quit following the Son of God because, you know, but things will turn out all right in my life. Yeah, God's in control. Yeah. Ignorance and stupidity. Peter came to the place of knowing, and that's where you want to arrive. God brings a revelation for us, and that revelation ends out in knowing the truth. It's to know the truth is what makes you free. It ain't just to believe that it's true. It must come to know. If it doesn't come to knowing, you'll never step out of the place that you're in. Many people say, I believe what the Bible says. Good. When are you going to come to the day that you know that's true? That's the day that you would not change at all what you're going to do. I'm going to walk and follow this thing. It don't matter. If I'm still questioning, I have not come to the place of knowing yet. Many people are still in wonder. Sometimes it takes time to come to the knowing part. You don't come to the knowing part in 15 seconds. There's some things I've gotten revelation, just knew it, could walk in it. There's some things it took time to get the knowing in me. But I'll tell you what, you ask my family, once the knowing's in me, that's it. Anybody can go do anything else they want. I have learned. I'll head the opposite direction. I don't care where everybody else is going. Once I got the knowing, I'm staying in that direction. I'm staying there. I don't care who leaves. Don't matter. It's just like Peter said, don't matter what's said, the rest of the crowd left. Don't matter. I know who you are. You're the Son of God. I'm sticking with you. Because if things turn sour, I want to be on the right side. Isn't that right? See, many people leave, but you watch. Soon as things go sour, oh God, help me out of the trouble. You know, I've gotten calls in the night times of the people who don't want to have nothing to do and you're wrong in what you teach and preach. And in the middle of the night, they get trouble. They give me a call and want me to get them out of their trouble. I told them, you ain't getting out of it in 15 seconds. We're going to pray and everything just gets all right. You need to repent. You need to get back in track and you need to go after God again. Because you'll just be back in the mess again. You'll just go back to the mess. Well, it's true anyhow. I'm sure these good counselors would never say that. They'll counsel the person for 15 years and never change. You know, but just keep, you know, just keep coming to the counselor as long as it makes me feel good. I'll tell you, if you're not going to follow God, don't waste my time and yours. But it ain't going to work. I ain't going to lie to anybody. If you don't want to follow God, that's what I'm in the business of, following God. You just want counseling? My God, you know, Phil Haven got loads of them. Go out there and get them. They got tons of them. Go out there and just give them. They'll tell you all kinds of things. But if you want to follow God, that's another thing. See, I'm over in this God-following thing. I'm not just trying to have people have a nice life. There's loads of people who've had nice lives and they're in hell today. It's about following Jesus. You know? You know, a guy may have never learned much about Jesus, but he had what he did know, and he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He believes he was the Son of God. And maybe he didn't have a really great life, but when he died, he went to heaven. That's a far better shot than the guy who lived a great life and is in hell today. You know, the rich man, when Jesus talked about it, he opened his eyes in hell, had a great life. He was a Jew, knew all the right stuff about religion, and ended up in hell. Not a good thing. You see who Jesus is. There's a revelation. Listen, verse 18 of Matthew 16 says this. Listen, Jesus made this statement, and I also say to you, he said, Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. He said, your name is Peter. Peter, the word Peter means rock, actually would be the term stone. In fact, if you read, it says at one time Jesus makes a statement to Peter about being a stone. And he says on this rock, he's not talking about Peter. Peter's not the rock. The word rock there, that means a huge, enormous piece of rock. Peter would be like a stone broken off a rock, in a sense. That's what it'd be. Off this, he's, in other words, this revelation, Peter, this revelation that you have, that I'm the Son of God, that revelation the church is built upon. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you are not part of the Church of Jesus Christ. You are not a part of the church. The church foundation is on the fact of who Jesus is. Because if Jesus is not who he said he is, there's no truth to stand on, folks. He said, it's on this rock. This revelation is the church is built on. This is the revelation that prevails against hell. You cannot prevail against hell thinking Jesus is somebody else. The devil will eat your lunch. And you will not be saved. I can, and we'll prove it by scriptures. We're going to show you. So, but we need to understand. We have, John wrote, in John the first chapter, in the Gospel of John the first chapter, first verse, he made mention of who Jesus, he's speaking of, this will tell us who Jesus is. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And if you jump down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is God. He is not one of the sons of God. One of the groups believes, they call them Christians, they believe that Satan and Jesus were brothers. It's a major group. I mean, there's all kind of nutty stuff out there. Well, what they say, their belief is Jesus was an angel. Was one of the angels. But you know what? Christians don't buy it. They just run around and say these people are Christians because they say, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, they believe he was an angel. See, a lot of Christianity is ignorant. They don't know. They don't know in what they believe. You know, if you guys ain't figured out by now what we believe here, I mean, but I'm telling you, what God wants you to get a hold of this, you're around a lot of people a lot of the time that have no clue who Jesus is. Yet, they have the Christian, lingo. They got the Christian stuff that they say. They go to churches. But they're lost. They don't know. They don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't believe He's God come in the flesh. They don't believe that. The church, the foundation of the church, prevailing over hell. There's only one way to prevail over hell is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, in John's writing, John wrote in 1 John. If you would go to 1 John, back to 1 John. These are the letters that John wrote to the churches. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Listen what's said here. Whoever confesses, in verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. In other words, he who don't confess this, don't believe that's true, God don't abide in him. And he don't abide in God. Now, this is Bible shakes people up. Because we got religion, we got our way of thinking, man. We got our way of believing, man. What? Whoever confesses. This is one of the things that over the years, reading like Kenneth Hagin talked about when God started dealing with him about demonic powers, about casting out demons. And he said he found this out. He said many times when a spirit was in manifestation in a person who had a spirit, he said many times people, religious spirits, he said they weren't saved. They had a religious spirit. He said, when that spirit was in operation, he said, when it would be manifesting, I would try to get that person to confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they would always say he wasn't. You will never get a demonic power to ever say that Jesus is the Son of God. They will always say that he's not. They will always say that he's not the Son of God. Always. Now, I'm talking about a spirit being in manifestation. A person can have a spirit, but it's not probably always in manifestation all the time. But many times, if they get into an area where there's an anointing, and I've seen it happen already, they get around with some people and there's an anointing of God, and all of a sudden, that their spirit starts acting up. And you'll find out. You know, I know some Christians, this happened years ago. We were meeting still out on Birch Road out there. We had a service, and this woman, she's always claimed to be a Christian and this and that and the other. I never just felt right about her at all. Never bothered. And anyhow, there's a manifestation. I know people that hung around her. And I tried to nicely warn them about some things, and they just, no, she's saved. She had a manifestation, and the Lord told me to let alone. He said, let alone. He said, she likes it the way it is, and she ain't going to listen to you anyhow. So, he said, let alone. But she wasn't no Christian. She had a demonic power. She had a religious spirit operating her, a demonic power. She followed that. And you wouldn't believe how many Christians hung around her. Never knew. People get so stupid because, oh, well, she said she's a Christian. She says a lot of nice religious things. She had a demon. She wouldn't even say it. You know, it doesn't matter if somebody... I am not interested if somebody comes and gives me all the right answers. That doesn't mean they know anything about God. Acting religious. My words. I know people over the years that went to this church who would come to church and they would play the most religious of all, and they'd go home and cuss their family and their wife and all kinds of stuff and do things. They'd go home and, oh, they come around. Oh, they were Mr. Religious, man. Go home a totally different person. I just never understand. People never figured it out. There's something about, you know, we should be able to pick up a wrong spirit. We should have a sensitivity. It's something's wrong. I don't care what a prayer. I've been around many people. Everything really looked good. And I knew inside something is really wrong. That doesn't mean everybody's got problems. All of us have things where we haven't arrived on. But I'm talking about people operating under wrong spirits. You know, you get. I can put up much better with somebody who don't know much about the Bible and stuff, at least trying to get somewhere with it. They do things that ain't right. That don't bother me in the least. They're learning. They'll get it. You know, you'll arrive someday. But you know, just because somebody comes along and they got all the religious answers, that don't mean they got any good God in them at all. Kenneth E. Hagin went to a church. It was one of the last churches that he pastored when he was in the pastoral ministry. And he went to a church where he was called the pastor, and he met with the board. And after the board meeting, he met with the board for the first time. And after the board meeting, this one guy came up and shook his hand and said, I'm on the board here, but he said, I'm going to be leaving. He said, I know since you're here, I can't stay on the board of this church. I know I won't be able to stay. He said, I have never been born again. I just decided I was going to come down here and get on the board of this church. And he said, I did it. And I've been sitting down here. Now, I'm talking about a spiritual church. Oh, don't look so harsh. I could introduce you to people on boards of churches that you think are wonderful. Let me tell you, I have seen a lot come and go. I mean, I ain't even been around the years that some people have. Some people have seen a lot more come and go than I have. But I've seen things. I've watched it. I've watched perverts, weirdos, and everything sitting in churches and that stuff in leadership. Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, some years back, well, the guy that was in the church and was on the board of the church for how many? That guy that was killing all those little boys? He was on the board of the church for years and years, and in their choirs and in their stuff and everything. And that church, they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They're born again people. He's down there in their church murdering kids all these years. But you know what? People just don't know God. They don't know God. They don't bother knowing God. We got our little religious system. I go to church and I feel good and I do. Then I go out and just live my life and I go out. But they ain't seeking God to know God. And that stuff goes on. That kind of craziness happens. Like, I believe the people in the church were probably good people in that church. And that's folk. But I'm going to tell you, whether they realize it or not, they were helping to promote what's going on, whether they realize it or not. He gets to hide among them. He's a nice guy. Well, this is the craziest thing you ever seen in your life. You ever think about this? Every time you have somebody generally in a mass killing, majority of the time, sometimes you don't, people say, I don't know, he was such a nice person. I don't understand why he did that. Why? Do you need to understand this? I could fake to be anything I want to be around people, to be whatever. People have learned it in the church world. There's people who, they're born again, they're in a church, but they fake their spirituality all the time. They're all the time know that they're not walking right with God. They know things ain't right. But you get in a conversation, you'd think, my God, they're seeking God all the time and they're after God. And they're good preaching anyhow. Okay, I'll stop meddling. You don't want to... Sometimes, you know, look, there's things, we're not trying to knock people, but folks, we have to know as Christians who we're around and what we're around. We need to become sensitive to things. We need to know, there's people that are never getting ministered to because we think they're all right. And they ain't all right. You know? We're looking for the guy out there that's trying to, the real, oh, I want to go out there and get the guy that's a real drug addict and a real this or that, while the drunk sits in the pew of the church and they don't even know it. You know, he's a board member, but he's an alcoholic. Believe me, there's loads of those. Drug addicts. I'm not talking about some pagan church. But people don't know. People don't know what's going on. John wrote this in 1 John, the 5th chapter. We were in the 4th chapter. In the 5th chapter, in verse 5, he says this. Who is he who overcomes the world? Who is it that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who can overcome the world? He's talking about the world, the world system. The world system which is run by Satan. He's the God of the world system. How do you overcome this system? How do you live above this system? Is why the foundation of it is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Hell cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Hell cannot prevail. The world system is hell's system that works in this earth. Hell's system is deeply embedded in much of the church world today. Because they preach the philosophies of the world, they bring the world's thinking, the world's stuff into the church. It is they bring hell in the church. They don't look like, oh no, we're doing, well, we have our rituals, we got our stuff, and we're doing our things. Yet hell's teachings are in the church. The Apostle Paul warned in the last days, doctrines of devils being taught in the church. What are the doctrines of devils? The world system which is run by Satan. Their thoughts, their thinking, their ideas get put into the church. I tell you, they're even brought in by people who are born again. They get off track, they start listening to wrong things, believing wrong stuff, and they begin to propagate it into the church. Those things are brought in. How do you overcome? We overcome the world system so we don't get trapped in it. We don't get dominated by it. So we can live free of sin. There's only one way to do it, and that's through the foundation of believing who Jesus Christ is. We can overthrow any obstacle that hell's system would throw at us. Jesus went on to say in verse 19, he went on to say that one of the most phenomenal statements of the Bible. He says to Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, verse 19 of Matthew 16. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Before Jesus left the earth, what did he tell the disciples? You go out here and preach this gospel. The people that believe this gospel, the people who believe who I am, the group that believes who I am, who I says it, these ones will do what? They'll cast out devils. In other words, they'll throw the devil out. The Church of Jesus Christ is hell's nightmare in the earth. That's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be hell's nightmare in the earth. The authority to release the kingdom of heaven in the earth is handed to the church. We keep asking God, asking God, asking God. When God said to us, God spoke to us and said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind, whatever you says comes to a stop will come to a stop. Whatever you release, it'll be released. You'll decide what heaven is going to do in the earth. That's what he told Peter. You're going to decide. God's not, people are always told, oh, it's God. God's in control. Yeah, well, he sure made a mess of things if he is. I can take you into this town. Things are a mess. Did God make it the way? Is he in control of that? No, the church. The church of Jesus Christ can stop the devil in his tracks if they decide to. But most of the church is waiting for somebody else. If we can get the government to do it, if we can vote the right guy in office, then we'll get the... Then if they'll just make the right thing, if they do the right stuff, they'll take care of my health. Then they'll take care of my bills. They'll take care of this. They'll take care of that. Why do we need God? When I asked the Lord some years back, why are we having all the trouble in our government? The Lord said to me, I'm judging the God of America. I'm judging the government. Amen. Good preaching. The same God that kicked the devil out of heaven is kicking him around in the earth through the church. He kicked him out of heaven. He didn't kick him down here for you and I to suffer with his annex. He kicked him out and gave us the authority through Jesus Christ to continue to kick him. We get to kick him till Jesus comes back. Now, we haven't been doing it, but let's get the game rolling. You know, you can kick him as often as you like, but you've got to get kicking him. Quit asking somebody else to. Quit going to somebody else to ask them to kick him for you. Because he can't come and live in your house. You've got to get kicking the devil yourself. Hallelujah. For hell to prevail against the church would mean that hell can prevail against the kingdom of God. That's an impossibility. It can never happen. There's always the true church of Jesus Christ. There's always the group that really believes it and knows who Jesus is. And I tell you what, that group will never be kicked around by the devil. He might pull some shenanigans, but I'll tell you what, if you stay hooked to Jesus Christ, you'll find out how to kick him back. You'll find out to do more kicking than he's ever thought about kicking. Hallelujah. That's who and what we are. We're the church of Jesus Christ. All of this that Jesus did, this revelation that we had, it's for us. It's for you and me so you and I can live victoriously. So you and I in this earth don't have to put up with the shenanigans of the world and sit around and whine because of what Washington's doing and this group's doing. It's time the church steps up and takes its place. We've been so busy fighting people instead of fighting the principalities and powers that have been running around doing the stuff that they've been doing. The annexes have been going on. The things. My words, sickness and disease. Oh, it's all natural. It's all this. I don't know. In the Bible, people were sick because of devils too. And at last I went to a doctor. I'd never met a doctor yet that cast out devils. And I'm going to tell you what, medicine don't make the devil go away either. If there's a demon involved in it, you better get on the ball about what's going on. I know. I've had wonderful Christian friends who have had, you know, family members and some people died. I knew there was demonic problems, but they would hear nothing of it. All just sickness and all the doctor. The doctor did the best they could. But there was demonic problems going on. And if those demons ain't dealing with, dealt with. In the Bible, there was people who were sick because of demonic problems. Oh, but we're in this great educated America and the great educated church. And, you know, we just, you know, it's like one woman I know. She had MS. She always told me, you know, that, well, she didn't, wasn't going to believe God for healing. She's believing that God's going to give the doctors a medicine to cure her. Well, she's in the ground today. She's been in the ground a number of years. She never asked God what she was supposed to do. Well, I'm believing God that a doctor will find it. Well, what if the doctor don't find it? What are you going to do? Just croak? That's what she did. Folks, there's an insanity in the church today. It's because the world is in the church. There's an intellectual Christianity, this informational Christianity that's filled with the knowledge of men and the wisdom of men. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stick with God. My brain ain't that big. I ain't that bright. You know, God's made me in many ways more intelligent than I ever thought I was going to be. But I'm going to tell you, the more I've learned about Him, the more I need Him a whole lot. The more I see what goes on in the earth, I need His wisdom and understanding. Because I tell you what, I can't stay ahead of the perversion of the earth myself. I can't do it. Hallelujah. Men are figuring out how to kill each other and do crazy things at a faster rate than my little mind can figure out what's going on. But God's ahead of it all. God's ahead on the curve all the time. Hallelujah. He's ahead on it all the time. All I have to do is just keep following the Word of God and listening to the Holy Ghost. That's all I have to do. I tell you what, I've minimized what I got to do. See, so many people, their life is so full of what they got to do. Hallelujah. I've found out a lot of things I was doing I didn't need to do. Some years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, you know what? You need to do less. What He was talking about, it's too much I was doing on my own. That's why I wouldn't get nowhere. You need to do less. I need to get over and find out what my job was and let Him do His. See, many people, they're trying to be the God. I've said this before. When we put pressure on ourselves and on others to take care of what it requires God to take care of, we're putting undue pressure on people, and really we're helping Satan do his best work. Many people, there's demands on their lives by other people that should never be there. People, instead of trusting God, they're always looking for somebody else to take care of them. They won't trust God. They're always looking for somebody else to do it for them. That's undue pressure. That's the way the devil does. The devil comes over, he's a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. He doesn't do what's right. He comes over and robs from you. Many people, we live in a society that's nothing but filled with invalids mentally who run around and all they're doing is looking for somebody else to take care of them. That's the devil. Now, I ain't saying that most of them don't have a clue of what they're doing, but they sit in church pews. And the ignorant preachers from the front are as dumb as they are. They think their ministry is to keep them doing what they're doing. And the person never gets out of bondage. They never get free. They watch other people live in freedom and always wish and dream one day they could get there, but they can't get there because they listen to that stupid idiot who can't get free himself. Man, we need God. We need God, folks. There's a freedom to have and to walk in. God's called us to it, folks. God wants you free. He don't want you bound. He don't want you sick. He saved you. He wants you well and whole. He told me when I first got born again. He said that sickness and disease, he said, the devil makes my people sick. He said it takes their money. He said, and it robs their health, the ability to do my will. What I've called them to do, they can't do because they don't have the money and they don't have the ability to do it. Because the devil keeps them sick and the first church keeps preaching that God made them sick for a purpose. And it's the devil. Yes, the God of that preacher, the devil. Oh, your God has them sick for a reason. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I come that you might have life. God is the life giver to you. Anything stealing from your life, it is not God. All the promises of God are yes and amen. There's no shadow of turning. God don't do bad one day and doing good the next day. Sickness has always been bad in my book. If sickness is good and a Christian believes it's good, they sin if they go to the doctor. Why would you want to get God's will off your life? Whenever any knucklehead tells me that, that's the first thing I point in his face. And I tell him what a sinner he is. You go around telling people it's God's will, and you're the first coward to try to get the will of God off your life. I don't believe doctors are the devil. I think that hopefully a majority of them want to get people well. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. But if I believe God makes people sick, well, then I'm going to have to determine whether I can go to the doctor. If God put this on me, then I can't go to the doctor. Because I'm in sin, trying to get God's will off of me. No, let it run its course. Dear God, you shouldn't be taking anything for it either. No, you want to get all the effects you can get. I'll tell you what, we got more people from pulpits are so stupid, it just amazes me, how they can keep preaching those things for years after year after year, tell their congregation that, and then themselves go against the will of God and go to the doctor. All God's offered us today, what major, minister, on TV all the time, many times a day, he's talking about. Yeah, when it talks about the gifts of healing, that's doctors. God gave us doctors. Can you imagine that? That's the gifts of healing. So an unsaved doctor gets a gift from God when Christians can't. What a moron. They know nothing about the Spirit. They know nothing about any of that stuff. See, we need to get ourselves over who Jesus is. The more I got introduced to who Jesus was, I'll tell you what, if you don't know who Jesus is, you don't know the love of God. Jesus loves people. He wants them well, whole, sound. People can't imagine how it breaks his heart to see the sickness and disease run rampant in this world, the poverty and all those things. It breaks his heart. It was never his plan. That's the world system. Our government has flowed with the world system. It's because the church has flowed with the world system. The government is exactly like the Christians of the nation. The majority of the Christians are looking at the government for answers, and the governments don't have it. It is wrong for us to put the pressure on our government to solve the problems that we have caused in the church by not walking with God. I'm not saying everybody has it. Many Christians have walked with God, but the majority don't. And they don't stand in their place. They don't take the responsibility. We got to take our responsibility of who and what we are. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to know what God has to offer unless somebody lives like he's got something to offer. You and I want to stand up and say, our God's a good God. Our God ain't doing bad stuff. Our God looks in this world and he sees the things going on in people's life. He wants to change it. He wants to turn it around. You know, he ain't around clubbing people over the head because we missed it. Man, I'd be a dead man if he clubbed people over the head for missing it. I've done it tons of times. My God, if anybody's going to pick me up, it's him. If anybody's made me stand, it's been him. Hallelujah. We got an absolutely wonderful God. Hell has a system that operates in this earth, and it's a system of destruction. It's the system of Antichrist. Anything that operates against the good is Antichrist. Anything operates that points Jesus to points people to have a God other than Jesus is Antichrist. Hallelujah. We only need one Christ. Hallelujah. There's people rising up all the time, calling themselves, you know, they're God, they're Jesus, they're this, that's amazing. People follow after because people are looking for a God. You know, they're looking for anything, man. They've watched mainstream Christianity. That was one of the reasons that I didn't come to Christ until I was 30 years old. I sat in churches. I was in more services than most of you people have been in your life. We had to go to all the time, but we didn't get to know who God was. It was all religious. It was just religious junk going on, religious stuff happening. And you went to all these meetings and all this stuff, but I watched it. There was no life in it. It did nothing for them. There was nothing but death in it. And I ended up hating Christianity. I thought it was the most worthless thing because of things coming along. Somebody they call a great guy, and God, the guy died 45 years old, and they said God took him. God killed him. I thought, well, was it good? Did it good to serve a God? Serve this God? You know, he's one of the nicest men I ever met in my life. I really is. To this day, I could say, from a standpoint of a Christian, that man had more Christian love than probably anybody I ever personally met in my life. And Satan killed him with cancer, and the church said God did it. And from that day on, hatred started in me against God. Because the church is the one who started the statement, the good die young. Yeah, you live right, God will kill you. You live right, God will knock you out. Don't live right. Now the Bible talks totally different how you can extend your life through living righteous, all these things. But the church preaches other stuff. They preach a different Jesus. They preach a different God. See, we need to get into the right God. I want you to understand, and God wants you to understand, the people that you're around and where you're at. What you know, most do not know. What you comprehend, most don't even have a comprehension of it. They're not playing. You know, if you got a whole, if you can understand 5% of what I said today, you're ahead of 90% of the church. I'm serious. I am absolutely serious. You're ahead of 90% of the church because they don't know. They don't know. People don't preach the book. We go to hear nice little sermons and little illustrations that make you feel good and go home. I don't want to feel good. I want to live good. I don't want to have hell in my life and just get a little injection once in a while to make me feel nice so I can limp through the rest of the week. I want to have a life that's not a limp. It's called a run. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. We're running a race. Hallelujah. We ain't limping through our late race. We're running it, folks. Hallelujah. We're runners. That's what we're called. Let's be runners in this race. Jesus will be to you everything he said he would be. Let's stand to our feet.